2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Listen, this is God's word. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." And so the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Amen. May God bless us. The reading of his word. Our passage this morning speaks of vulnerability. And I wonder, have you found yourself in a similar desperate situation? Financially, you have nowhere to turn. The bank account is empty. The bills are coming in. Or maybe it's a social need. You find yourself all alone. You're desperate for social interaction. Your family, your friends are far away, and you feel completely isolated. Maybe it's mental. You're anxious, or you're afraid, or you're discontent, or you're depressed. Or maybe it's spiritual, where you're overcome with your guilt and with your shame, and it leaves you afraid and uncertain. And so this passage, which maybe initially seemed a million miles from your experience, it's actually a good reminder of our vulnerability, and that in the desperate times of need, we are to look to God to provide. It is a simple lesson, and yet it's one that we constantly forget, and so we need reminded of it. So firstly, do not be surprised by your difficulty. The righteous are not immune from trouble. So do not be surprised by your difficulty. The righteous are not immune from trouble. In our passage, we read of this desperate widow. Not only is she grieving the loss of her husband, but she has this massive debt to pay. She has already tried to relieve the burden by selling all her belongings. Note, there's nothing in her house. And she's being threatened by the creditor, who wants to take her boys and sell them as slaves to repay the debt. These boys were her only lifeline. Who would look after her and support her? She would become a beggar without her sons to support her. And imagine the shame that she's going through. What sort of mother is she would allow her sons to be sold as slaves? Notice something else in the passage. Even her name is not mentioned. She is just referred to as the widow. And this shows how unimportant she is and how great her need is. But we do learn a little about her husband. He was a man of God. Her husband was one of the company of the prophets, one of the 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal, who would have withstood the persecution of evil Queen Jezebel. And she describes him as God's servant, as one who feared the Lord. He had remained faithful while the rest of the country was unfaithful to God. And yet verse 1 sounds more like a question of, why is this happening to me? Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that he revered the Lord. But now the creditor is coming to take my two boys. How could God have let this happen? Is this what you get from serving God? Her husband had dedicated his life to God, and all they have to show for it is this debt. And within us, we have something that we feel that we deserve God's blessing, that we earn it. We serve God faithfully, and so we expect Him to bless us. We do not expect hardship. And when we receive it, like the widow, we often question it. Now, there is a false teaching out there in churches which agrees with this thinking, that if you serve God, He will only bless you with good fortune, that you will be healthy and prosperous. And if you go through tough times, it's because God is punishing you for your sinful doing. This is wrong. It plays with our natural expectations. It's a sort of karma where if you do good, you will get goodness. But we can also succumb to this type of teaching. We may not think that we will become rich or that we'll be immune from diseases, but we think that we will be immune from all difficulty. And so when troubles come, we find ourselves questioning God. Why are you allowing these difficulties in my life when I have served you faithfully? We must accept that God's people, even though they are faithful, they are not free from trouble. In 1 Peter 4, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." We're not to find suffering strange, but notice that if even Christ suffered, He who is perfect, we should prepare ourselves with expecting trials in life. Now, this past week, our kids got various vaccinations, and I tried to coax them through it, saying it's only short-term pain, so you don't have long-term pain later. Not sure that really got through. It was more the Twizzlers and the stickers that did a better job. But whatever difficulty it is that you're going through, it will be short term. Don't be surprised, but be ready for it. Difficulties will come our way, but it's how we respond to these difficulties that is telling. And so notice, secondly, in your desperation, cry out to God. In your desperation, cry out to God. Though this woman seems to be questioning God, notice that it's to God where she turns in her distress. She has not forgotten God. She turns to God by turning to Elisha. She has access to this man of God, to the prophet, and God speaks His word through him. So she trusts in what He has to say. And what about this occasion? Does God, through Elisha, have something to say to this widow? Well, yes, He does. He is keen to help her in her difficulty. God is a help to all His children who call on His name. Doesn't matter who you are. This woman was a nobody in the world's eyes, and yet God is more than willing to help her. In the previous chapter, it's quite different. Elisha was reluctant to talk to the important king, the king of Israel. But here, with this lowly and nameless widow, Elisha is ready to help. By her going to God, she is acknowledging her dependence on God. That only He can help her. He is the one who is powerful. Stuart Olliott describes how God is powerful and that He can do it, and that God is good and that He will do it. And so we need this picture of God to help us turn to Him. Well, how do you respond during your difficult times? Are you quick to go to God for help? Are you quick to cry out to Him in your prayers, recognizing your helplessness? Are you able to move on from simply questioning God's will in your life to listening to what He has to say? Are you quick to pray, to read His word, to listen to wise counsel from other believers, to listen to a sermon on that issue? And when you don't get an answer, are you ready to wait on Him, to be still and know that He is God? God doesn't necessarily give you an answer right away. Sometimes He allows you to continue in your struggle, but He will give you the grace to carry through. I remember at school, occasionally there would be textbooks that would have the answers in the back, and you would struggle in doing your exercises. But when you think you have the right answer, you would turn to the back to find out if you are correct. Now, some of us persevered longer than others at completing the exercises, but nobody ignored the answers. We want to know, we want to find out, are we doing these exercises correctly? Well, that should be like us. We should be as quick in turning to God to find the answers, looking for the solutions to our problems, looking for understanding for what we are going through, looking for comfort when we face opposition, looking for strength when we feel weak. But it's one thing to seek God for the answers and for his help. It's a different thing to obey him. And think about what this woman had to do. All this woman has is a small amount of oil. It's no different than the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that the disciples bring to Jesus. And this is where God starts. He uses something small, insignificant, to accomplish much. He would use this oil, something very ordinary, to help this woman. And so it helps her see her inadequacy, but it also helps see God's sufficiency in providing for her. She has to go round her neighbors to ask for empty jars. And then when she collected these jars, she has to pour her oil into the jars. That oil was to come from her tiny supply of oil. It seems a crazy thing that God was asking this woman to do. She's likely relieved that God asked her to do it behind closed doors. But why does God do this miracle or ask this miracle to be done in secret? Well, we can't be sure. But the failure to care for the widow, it lies within the community. They're the ones who should have been looking out for her. They should have been providing for her. God, in his law, offered protection for widows and orphans. Her being in need, despite these laws, speaks of the apostasy that was going on in the country. Baal doesn't care for the weak or the vulnerable, but God the Lord, he does care for those at the margins, and he provides for them. Also notice her husband was a prophet of God, and so he should have received material help from the community to support him in his calling. And so was this miracle done in secret as a judgment on the community? They would not see God's merciful and miraculous provision. We can't be sure. But yet, as strange as this command is for the widow, we do see her readiness to obey God's commandment. There is no mention of her questioning God about this command or not obeying straight away. Doesn't this prove her faith in God? She trusts God. She carries out this seemingly ridiculous task. She believes that God would get her out of her desperate situation. She was not to sit back and watch God miraculously provide. Instead, God would use her and her actions to provide her needs. Phil Ryken says in his commentary, it's important to see that she acted in faith. It was a bold faith to go to her neighbors and ask for the empties, trusting that they would be filled. It was a bold act of faith to pour the oil, trusting that there would be enough to go round. It was a bold act of faith to pay off her debts first, trusting that that would be enough. Enough would be left for her next meal. The widow trusted in the providence of God, and as she did, she found him to be trustworthy. Are you quick to obey God? Do you accept what he commands you to do? I've already mentioned the answers at the back of the school textbook. Does the student question the answers at the back of the book and decides, no, those answers are not right, I am correct? No, they don't. They trust the answers. They trust the answers more than they trust their own ability to work it out. Likewise with God. We must go with what he says. Even if his commands are demanding, even if they maybe seem implausible, you are to respond like this widow in faith, obeying God, trusting him and what he asks of you. Rick Hubbard was the commander of the ill-fated Columbia space shuttle mission that went down on the 1st of February 2003, and he left behind a wife and two children. And Rick's favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And it would be this verse that would be a comfort to his grieving wife. Give her strength to continue. She says, people have asked me if I blame God for what happened. And I always tell them no. God has a plan for each person's life. I may not understand that plan. It may grieve me, but I'm not bitter towards God. He has been too good to me, to Rick, and to our families. I have a long history with God. I cannot turn my back on that history of God's faithfulness, provision, and grace. He has always loved me when I was unlovable. He continues to love me today through the greatest sadness of my life. He has carried me through dark times. He continues to carry me through the darkest of days without Rick. This woman has suffered much, just like the widow in our passage. But she clings to God and to his word and obeys them, and so gains comfort from that. So only when we accept our weakness, our inadequacy, do we see God as our sufficient provider. Whether he does it miraculously, whether he does it through ordinary providences, God is the one who provides for our daily bread. Well, thirdly, notice God provides you deliverance from trouble. And ultimately, he provides your redemption. So God provides you for deliverance from trouble, and ultimately, he provides your redemption. This widow obeyed God, and she was blessed for doing so. She was desperate, and God provided for her. And we read of how she poured that small amount of oil into the jars that she had collected. The oil did not stop flowing until she had filled all the jars. God performed a miracle in this continual flow of oil. She has now understood how God has helped her, how God was going to provide for her. It would be through this miraculous provision of oil. She was to sell this oil. The money would pay her debt and be enough for her and her sons to live on. And so God provided. Reich in his commentary says oil was liquid money in those days. And so the widow was rich. She moved from poverty to solvency as God met all their daily needs. Not only their immediate need, but also provided for their future. This woman had nothing but a little oil and a massive debt. And this debt would lead to the enslavement of her sons. It was this debt that she brought to God. And we see God providing in this bountiful way. Now, don't misunderstand the passage and keep your nearly empty containers of olive oil, hoping that the flow of oil will never stop. Yes, God provides. But we mustn't confuse our needs with our wants. Our wants are infinite. And God will not provide for our wants. That would not be good for us. But he does provide our daily bread. And sometimes he provides miraculously, like in this case. But more than often, he provides providentially. He provides a job, a bonus, a home. He provides for us a support network, a family, friends, a church family. And in the same way that the community had a responsibility to care for the needs within the society of that day, the widows, we're also to care for the needs within our church community and within our wider society. God has given us much, but we're to use that to help and to support others, whether that's financially, whether that's with our time or with our skills or with our wisdom. And it's interesting that in this passage, that the word used for the woman selling the oil to pay her debt is literally recompense. She is making amends for the harm that's been done. By God's grace, she is redeeming the situation that she sells the oil and she doesn't sell her sons. Her sons would not be sold into slavery. They would know freedom. Well, we're all like this woman before God. Not one of us has something to offer God. Think about that. Before God, you are in poverty. Not only are you in poverty, but you are in debt. This woman has a financial debt, but your debt is your sin. And this woman's debt would lead to her sons being enslaved. Your debt also leaves you enslaved. But worse than that, it has eternal consequences, that of death. So how do you plan to pay back this debt? You're in poverty. You have nothing. The good things that you do, they're not accepted by God. It's like being in a shop that accepts cash only. And you have various credit cards or debit cards or vouchers or checks, but they're not acceptable. You have no cash. You're stuck. You don't have the right form of payment. There's nothing that you can do. And so before God, there's nothing that you can do. You have a debt that you cannot pay back, and the punishment is death. Well, the woman turned to God, and he provided for her. And we should do the same. Turn to God, and he will provide for you. And in a similar way, God takes our debt on himself. He transfers the debt from us to him. We receive his account, which is in the credit, which is positive, that will lead to eternal life, while he receives our debts with the consequences of death. And that's what happened. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He received our debt with its consequences. And so do we find ourselves in the red again? Can we run up another debt? No, we have been credited infinitely. Back to the illustration of the shop, which only took cash, and you have no cash. Imagine a total stranger comes in and pays your bill in cash. Not only that, but he promises to pay any future bill that you may have. For the rest of your life, you can shop for free. This stranger would pay for it. We would never be stuck again. Well, the woman and her sons were able to live on what they had left after paying their debts. And we are the same. Christ's payment into our lives ensures that we live a life with no recurring debts. It's paid in full. The debt of our sin will never be able to enslave us again. Instead, we have eternal fellowship with God in heaven if we continue to live in him. We can only stand before God because of the death of Christ. This message seems strange. It's just like the widow's message from God to collect jars and fill them with this small amount of oil. But we also must obey God, asking for forgiveness, living a life of repentance and trust in him. The widow trusted in God to pay off her debts. All Christians are like this widow. They've trusted in God to pay off their debts. They've acknowledged that they have nothing that will pay their debt. And so look to Christ. The famous hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft to Me, describes it well. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Helpless, look to you for grace. Stained by sin, to you I cry. Wash me, Savior, or I die. God blessed the widow, delivered her from need. And in our times of need and distress, let's not question God, but come to him. He will provide for us. He will give us the strength to get us through our difficult times. And remember how he has enabled us to understand his great and his bountiful provision, salvation through Christ. Let's close reading Colossians 2, where it says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, some of us here may be in difficulty going through various trials. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them see that trials are part of the Christian life, to not be surprised by that, that they would cry out to you in their pain or in their confusion, and that they would know your provision, whether that's material or strength or grace. And ultimately, Lord, we thank you for your redemption that rescues us from our sin, from death, and gives us new life and fellowship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.